Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch. Welcome, everybody, as you always are every Friday, 11 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, here in the country's most irreverent, entertaining, and cool internet talk radio station, LA Talk Radio. We're almost slipping into the new year. So what I'm going to be talking about today, no, not resolutions, because we always break them. Come on. Peter's out after about 3 weeks. I'm going to start my new diet. I'm going to read a book every week. I'm going to learn a language. Just focus on one thing and try to do that throughout the year. And don't beat up on yourself if you don't achieve all of the resolutions that you've set out so boldly to do just before the new year. Let's just be gentle on ourselves. But as the new year approaches, what I want to do today is answer some of listeners' questions. Thank you guys for emailing me out there at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. I appreciate it. And what we're going to be doing today, in the sense of the queen speak, we, my brain and my mouth, will be helping you out, and my engineer, with some of the questions you have regarding things like how to be more optimistic. We're going into the new year and we need to learn how to do that, don't we? Of course. How to be less self-conscious. How to have more self-esteem. One of my faves in therapy. Also, how to manage your anger. Mm-hmm. How can you manage those outbursts, those spontaneous knee-jerk brain reactions that you have when you feel demeaned, yelled at, criticized, whatever. So we're going to talk about managing anger and also jealousy, another biggie, and one of my favorites. One of my favorites that I like to talk about with people. And you can also call if you'd like, but most of my listeners email me at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. But love to hear from you if you want to give me a shout here. Put your voice on the air live. The number is 323-203-0815. Again, that's 323-203-0815. So first of all, I want to thank everybody out there who wrote me online and who, you know, just really needed some help with stuff. Now, let me just get it clear here. You and I don't have a therapeutic relationship per se. I'm not your therapist because I don't want anybody saying, you told me to do this. I'm just going to give people suggestions and ideas about things that work or what I've seen work. And again, we don't have a therapeutic relationship. I'm just, giving you some good tips about focusing on things that might help you out in your life. So let's get started. And some of the names may be changed due to the confidentiality that they suggest or would prefer. So let's start out. Which one would you guys like to hear? I'm psychically communicating with you right now. Oh, you want to know how to be more optimistic for the new year. Is that what? Okay, let's do that then. Let's take Alicia's question. She writes, can you help me understand how to be more optimistic? My husband always accuses me of being a pessimist, and although we get along pretty well most of the time, he gets mad at me when I say, in his words, always, I always expect the worst. I have a lot of pressure in my life with my job and taking care of my elderly dad, who's been ill these past several years. I'm pretty overwhelmed, and I do usually kind of wait for the other shoe to drop. Can you help me? All right. Very nice. Alicia, thank you so much for emailing. Appreciate it. Let's think about this. Let's think about optimism. What I'm going to tell you, is the good stuff about optimism. Okay? And first of all, so let's lay the foundation of what's good about being more optimistic. And then what we'll do is I'll give you some ideas of what optimists do with some of the stuff I've studied about what optimists do. So there's a little saying that I've shared with you guys before, and it's two men look out through the same bars. We're talking about prison bars. One sees the mud, and one sees the stars. That's from Frederick Langbridge, A Cluster of Quiet Thoughts book, actually. You know what I'm saying? You really want to be more optimistic about life. It's where you're at. If you feel in a situation that you have no control over, then you've got to change what? First. Yes, you've got to change the way you look at the situation. You got to change you, honey. Sometimes we can't change stuff out there. Just like Alicia said, her dad is ill and she's been taking care of him. So you can't necessarily change him. Maybe the doctors can. You can be as loving and caregiving and wonderful as you are and try to do the best you can without beating yourself up and saying, I should do more. Do the best you can and be as optimistic as you can. How do we do that? I don't know. Our life is always filled with choices. What we do is we have to change the way we look at the world, and then the world will look different to us. Okay? Well, optimism has always, you know, been linked to positive mood and good morale. And a lot of folks who are more academic are more positive. Because people who are less positive and more negative don't have a lot of faith in their ability to do stuff. So it's been linked to athletic ability, positive thinking, and all that, you know. They used to call it, this is dating me. Psycho-cybernetics. I used to read that stuff when I was a kid. And it used to help athletes perform in their mind because they used positive reinforcement. It leads to political success. Come on. The politics we love are optimistic people. It leads to popularity. It leads to good health, mind, body. See, you have a more positive attitude. You're not so stressed about life and your body doesn't break down. And it even can lead to long life and freedom from trauma, like a lot of traumas we've had in the past. If we're more positive or optimistic, we're not hanging on to the old stuff. Yeah, I hear you. I know you're going, oh, yeah, Dr. Michelle, I used to be abused. I have PTSD. I know. I get it. I do know that. That's nasty stuff. You'll never forget it. You got to hang on to your survival techniques that you used as a child. But what you have to do is you have to switch it up because you're in the now. You're not in the then now. I always say if you're driving the car and you're looking through the rearview mirror, you're going to crash. So you got to keep your eyes on the road ahead, and that's what it's about. Okay, I've said enough cliches this morning. I'm sorry. I can't help myself. I just get rolled into these, you know, little lessons that I've learned and these little, you know, things I say. Okay. What's interesting to me is the rates of depression and pessimism have never been higher. Why? Well, because there's a lot of stress in our life. Just like Alicia said, there's a lot of stress. You know, people are living longer. I don't know how old you are, Alicia, but if you're taking care of a father who's ill or elderly, you know, we're doing so many things. We are working. We are caregiving. We have kids. Let's see what else. We have to take care of the household. We have to pay the bills. So everyone's stressed. Partners are stressed. There's a lot more arguments. And so let me just give you an idea of how optimists and researchers really urge us to pay attention to how we think. And let me tell you the behaviors of optimists. They expect the best. All right? The defining characteristic of most pessimists that I see is that they tend to believe bad events, which will last a long time and undermine everything they do, are their own fault. No, stuff happens to all of us. And it's not going to continue unless we change the way we think. And the truth is that optimists are confronted with the same hard knocks in the world. But what differs is the way that they explain their misfortune. It's the opposite way, totally. So they tend to believe defeat is just a temporary setback. You know? And they know how to compartmentalize. That's the biggie. It's really hard to do that sometimes when you're a very emotional person. You can't put things in the box. Okay, I tend to set this aside, this pain, you know, this misfortune, this job I got fired from, this divorce, whatever, this loss. I can't let this spread out to every part of my life. I have to feel it. I have to embrace it. I have to acknowledge it. But I'm going to put it out in this box for a bit. And I will take time to mourn and feel and embrace it. But right now, I need to function. So optimistic people say, I will get through this. And they tend to focus on and plan for the problem at hand. They use positive reinterpretation. In other words, what I see a lot of times is really optimistic people most likely reinterpret a negative experience in a way that helps them. I know. Yeah, but Dr. Michelle, I've been abused. I've been assaulted. I have PTSD. I know. But if somehow you can learn to spin it to, this has been a challenge that I have had to overcome in my life, and I'm going to use those tools that I've always used to overcome these challenges. So if you use it as, I don't know, a challenge, you can look at what did I learn from this experience. I'm going to be more careful about choosing certain partners. I'm going to be really learning more about the kind of job I want. I'm going to be a little more understanding of my children because I don't want to be that parent that I had. So you tend to focus on what you learned from the past. Okay? And by the way, don't go to things will never get better. Alicia, I'm talking to you, honey. I failed once. It'll happen again. And if I experience misfortune in one part of my life, then it's going to happen in my whole life. Catastrophizing. Life sucks. This happened to me. Oh, my God. You're just waiting for that other shoe to drop. Oops. Sorry. Another cliche, but it's really true, a lot of this stuff. So you have to just sort of learn your thoughts. You have to learn the way you express yourself. Now, if your husband is always saying, you're such a pessimist, you got to be more optimistic. Just sort of learn these automatic thoughts that go through your head, Alicia. If I failed once, it's going to happen again. Well, of course it's going to happen again. By the way, I hate to use the word fail. And I know that sounds like, you know, these contemporary, they always accuse me of being one of those airy-fairy moms that says, you did really well, honey. Do the best you can. There's no such thing as fail. But it's true. I mean, let's just kind of spin up that word a little bit. Let's spin it up to things just didn't come out right. Maybe I didn't try hard enough. Next time I'm going to try hard enough. I hate that. You failed. Well, yes, we get grades in school. A big F. Because you didn't study. Yeah, that's fail. Yeah, I failed the test. But I didn't fail in life. I didn't fail in the situation. I didn't do what I might have done had I had the right tools. And next time when I don't do well, I'm going to know that I didn't do it right again. But I'm going to try the best I can and move on, you see. All right. So positive expectancies of optimists also predict better reactions during transitions to new environments. So we're always going to have things like tragedies and unlikely turn of events, right? And again, when people who are optimistic fall, they'll stand up, they'll get up slowly. They see opportunities instead of obstacles. you see. So it's just sort of switching things up. Be more proactive. Don't be so dependent on others for your happiness. Take that strength within you and be positive. You know, optimism seems to be a really socially desirable trait in all communities. I mean, I always hear this about work environments. People say, God, he's so optimistic. He's so positive all the time. It really irritates me. Well, you have to look at why this person irritates you. You got to look at yourself, baby. Because you're not optimistic enough and you'd like to be that way. Maybe he's just a happy person. So anyway, back to Alicia. Try to maintain a higher level of subjective well-being during times of stress. You can't do it all, Alicia. You can't do it all. You can only do the best you can do. And I hear you're stressed out. I hear you're taking care of your dad. Sounds like, you know, you have a, I don't know if you have children, but you said you and your husband get into arguments because you're too negative. Just try to manage your stress. Try to be more positive about, oh, well, and don't beat yourself up, because people who are negative and pessimistic are the worst. They beat themselves up all the time, and then they get mad, and, yeah, just my luck. Don't do that. Just try to look forward to success, and try to be resilient. That's the whole key, is coping. Try to be resilient. Boom, that sucks. Okay, well, let's learn from that. All right, let's get myself up and move on. And like everybody else, you're bound to hit lows, but just try not to stay there. You can stay there for a while. It's all good. You can lay in bed for a little bit. Eat candy. Watch. Oh, those wonderful Netflix shows. Those are so good. They're so addictive. Watch those reality shows, girl. But it's okay. Get off your own back. Be a little more positive. Spin things positive. Laugh more. Yeah. Try to laugh more. Be with people who make you laugh. Watch funny movies. Okay? Just some ideas for you. And thank you so much for emailing me here on LA Talk Radio. You're on the couch with Dr. Michelle, as you always are. Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And what I'm doing today, before we kind of slowly slide into the new year, is I'm helping you out with some positive suggestions that you might take with you into the new year. So I'm answering some of your questions. I've informed all of you who reached out to me that I will help you out today. And again, we don't have a therapeutic relationship. I'm just a gal here on the air who's a psychologist, just giving you ideas and suggestions about things that have worked in the past. Okay? And if you'd like to email me or, respond to some of the questions that some of the other folks who wrote me, StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. That's me. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. And we're going to move on to some of our other questions here. So let me... Dang, I am so farsighted. I can't believe it. Okay, here we go. Close up. Let's look. This is from Dave. I want to be more confident about myself. I work in digital PR for an entertainment company. And I'm really worried that I'm going to lose my job because the corporation is downsizing. Gee, I bet he works in L.A. That's what everybody's doing right now. We're all downsizing. What the hell? What's this that about? Well, it's true. All the corporations are gobbling up the smaller corporations. Yeah, it's what's going on. Anyway, sorry, I do digress. So Dave says, I'm afraid that I'm going to lose my job because the corporation is downsizing. Everyone at work says I'm doing great, but I'm still self-conscious that I'm not good enough. The same goes for my relationships. I'm still single at 30 and have a hard time in social stuff. My guy friends always seem confident and seem to get women to talk to them at parties and clubs. I get self-conscious about my approach. I don't want to be an idiot or a phony. And I'm very self-conscious about my looks and my height. I'm 5'7", and I don't like being a, quote, short guy, unquote. How can I boost my self-consciousness? Well, I'm going to tell you something right now, Dave. Some of the sexiest guys are shorter guys. Just saying. Okay, that's all I have to say about that. But listen, you want to be more confident? You want to feel more confident? Well, I would say, get a really good therapist who specializes in boosting self-esteem, because we all are worthy. I know I sound like someone from the 70s or 60s. We're all worthy. We are all, but we are, damn it. You got to recognize your insecurities, Dave. And it sounds to me like you do, but I mean, you've got to define, write down, pen in hand, the brain and the arm and the hand, they all work together. It's amazing. What does that voice in the back of your mind say? What makes you ashamed of yourself? Let's think about those things right now, you and I. Who used to criticize you? We all got criticized, by the way. We all got teased. Every single one of us. Except the bully. The big bully. Yeah, that girl who used to beat me up, sock me in the stomach in middle school. She had a lot of self-confidence. Not really. You should have seen her when she grew up, got out of college. Oof. She was a bully. But you don't live your life like that. The nice people who feel embarrassed and have low self-esteem, we kind of tend to be defensive and angry, or we pull it back. So whatever it is, our certain parents, let's go to mommy and daddy again. Let's think about it, Dave. Who made you feel ashamed of yourself? Who humiliated you growing up that you weren't ever good enough? Or was someone around you very, let's just say, critical of everyone, and you have to be perfect? And or they based their self-worth and projected that onto you about the stuff you had or the looks you had to have or what you had to do to put it out there so you'd get accolades from the world. Okay? So you just sort of go through some of the things that made you feel unworthy, ashamed, or inferior. You know? Just kind of jot some of those things down. And then you can talk about it to folks like therapists or your bestest friends who you trust in, you know. And the guy friends will say, hey, oh, come on, get over it, man. Guys usually don't say that to each other. But if you have a nice friend who's a woman, oh, yeah, we love to talk about that stuff. We love to fix you up and make you feel better about yourself. Listen, Dave, nobody's perfect. You know, even the most confident people who you think are confident, your buds out there in the clubs, your buds in the clubs, they have insecurities. At any point in our lives, we feel we lack something, whether it's ability at work, something we've not done well, we don't look good enough. And oh my gosh, if you're... Listen, I just guessed, I don't know, Dave, that you said you were working... In PR, in an entertainment company, I just assumed you were in Los Angeles, and a lot of them are downsizing here. So, I mean, this is really scary out here in Los Angeles, folks. If you're listening from other states, countries, and the like, you know, it's Hollyweird. It's all about how can I look. And the single scene is quite scary. It's all about you have to be the sexiest, the hottest, the most interesting. It's tough. There's a lot of, competition going on. So, Dave, first of all, just let that all go. That's hogwash. It's dumb. Social media sucks. It's all a game. It's the human PR experiment. Let's see how popular and how many good-looking strangers I can take pictures with and say they're my buddies in public. Or, gee, I'm always smiling, having a good time. Did you happen to be in Disneyland earlier this week? Was that the day before yesterday? I just thought, the mind just goes places sometimes. Speaking about lighting and taking good selfies, having such a wonderful time. Yeah, the power shut down in a huge portion of Disneyland. And that sucks. You're trying to do a selfie and everything goes dark. It's completely, all the rides stop. And anyway. Listen, Dave, you've got to identify your successes. I know you have successes because you wouldn't be where you're at in your job if you didn't have successes. You wouldn't be. So good for you. Everyone is good at something. So write down the things that you excel at. Focus on your talents. Give yourself permission to take pride in them. You know, a lot of people think that if you say, damn, I'm good at that... And just embrace it. Be okay with it. You're not a narcissist. We have to feel good about the things we do. We have to feel really good and embrace our gifts. We all have different ones. You know, celebrate the good ones about you. So give yourself credit for your success. Inferiority, lack of self-esteem, rather, is a state of mind in which you've declared yourself a victim. You know, don't allow that. Okay? Express yourself. Find something you enjoy. Find things about you that you know you rock at. You rock it. All right? Now, also what I want you to do is be thankful for what you have. There's that whole attitude of gratitude thing every day when you wake up. When you first wake up, first of all, I want you to say thank you for letting me breathe. Whoever your higher power is, or if you're an atheist, just thank you, my brain, for breathing for me, my medulla and my pons. Thank you for the autonomic nervous system I have that has allowed my heart to beat all night long without me having to mind it. So you need to be thankful for that. And then I want you to say, I am grateful for one thing. Think of one thing a day when you wake up. Okay? So the more you, just kind of like train your brain, the more you change your neural patterns to the more positive thinking about the good stuff about you, they'll come a little easier, those thoughts. So by acknowledging and appreciating what you have, you can combat the feeling of being incomplete, unsatisfied, finding that inner peace. True. You know? And it's good sometimes to be positive. Again, it's like training your brain. Be positive, even if you don't feel positive. Avoid that self-pity. A lot of us love to wallow in that. Feels so safe, doesn't it? Ooh, God, that feels good. I'm not enough of enough. My guy friends always get the chicks in the clubs. You know what? You're great the way you are. You don't have to come off. You're right. I love what you said, Dave, in your email. I don't want to come off phony in the club at the parties with the girls. I don't know. I just me. Good for you. You be you. The heck with it. So what I want you to do is just try to lighten up in your life a little bit and love that which you are. I know. Come on, give me a break. Love that which you are. Right. But really, we got to start inward. Don't base your self-worth on what others feel out there in the world and reflect onto you. A lot of times, it's mostly their stuff anyway. Yeah. So you can't control anybody else, really. The only thing you can control are your thoughts, your feelings, your actions. That's all you can do. So be you. You be you. You rock that 5'7", you sexy babe. You get those good-looking clothes on and you go out there. You get a stylist. You do your hair up. You do your do up. Or shave your head if you want. That's kind of sexy, too. You do the best thing you can do for you and make yourself feel fine with who you are. You know what I'm saying? Be assertive, not aggressive. And stop worrying about what others think. You just need to really take good care of you and really appreciate all the good things that you have and your skills, again. And be with the people who make you feel good. And don't compare yourself to others. I mean, we all do. Come on, you know. It's social media. Give me a break. It's a big PR thing out there for everybody. That's all it is. Some people may be having more fun than us. It's all right. Have as much fun as you can. Enjoy it, and you be you. And thank you for writing, Dave. Love you. You rock it. You go, man. Dr. Michelle here on the couch, live with you on LA Talk Radio. We are the country's most irreverent, entertaining, and cool talk radio station. And I'm not your therapist. I'm not. I'm just giving suggestions. Ideas to help you out, feel better about who you are, and things we can take into the new year. The most common questions that I hear every day is what I sort of grabbed off my email listener question thingy. So what I'm doing is sort of helping out, and take some of these ideas with you guys. And I'd love to hear from you what you have to say. There's some emails coming in. A couple of guys who say, yeah, dude. Oh, I love this. Yeah, dude, I'm a short guy too. Sucks. No, it doesn't. You know what? It's you. It's who you are. You just rock it, D. A couple of girls say, I love shorter men because they're better lovers. Okay. All righty. You know, that's interesting. I had a relative who married an Asian American. And let's just say he wasn't real tall. And she used to say to me, you know what, honey? We're all the same size in bed. That's it. Okay, I'm done with that. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. That's my email here. And I'm answering a really good question from Justin. He says, hey, Doc, I want to know how to give people who work for me constructive criticism. My partner, who I work with at the antique furniture store, says that the employees don't respect me and that I can be an asshole to them. He is always trying to smooth things over with them after I criticize them and tell them some of the things that they need to do. What are some of the things I can learn to be a better boss and not be as critical? That's a great question, Justin. Thank you so much for emailing me. I really appreciate that. You know, it's hard when you're managing a company. But I'm glad you have your partner who's there just sort of, you know, doing the yin-yang thing for you, sort of balancing your criticism with being, you know, good cop, bad cop's good sometimes in a work environment. But if you don't want to be that guy anymore. There are ways you can give criticism without being an asshole, as you said. You know, so how can you learn to criticize when you have to? How can you learn to do that? First of all, you have to chill, Will. Because if you approach people and you're frustrated and you're anxious and they're not doing, you know, that's, oh, boy, they feel your energy before you've even come into the room. They're like, oh, God, here comes Justin. Okay, here he comes. You got to do a little breathing. Breathe it. Keep calm. If you're upset about something, don't blow up at someone, especially your employees. They're going to be looking for jobs after the first week online in your office. Well, they're supposed to be working. Yeah, they're going to be passively aggressively going, yeah, I think I'm doing my work, but I'm getting out of here. I'm online looking for jobs already. So chill out. Be calm. Make your criticism at more of an appropriate time. Don't jump on someone and don't humiliate an employee in front of anyone else. Never criticize an employee in front of other employees. That's humiliating. You take them aside. For me, this is just a suggestion. You know, some managers think, I'm going to humiliate this person so that they feel like they're really going to have to step up to the plate. I get that theory. I get it. But I think it's wrong. I don't think we should criticize people in front of the other employees. Don't do it. Because obviously, your employees are saying behind your back to your partner that you're an asshole. So it's good to make your criticism an appropriate time. Don't wait until you're so fed up that you're furious. Like I said, you just take some deep breaths. Then try a technique that I always suggest, and you've heard it before. It's called the criticism sandwich. Right? So it's like, let's just say something nice. That's the top of the sandwich. Little piece of whole wheat bread. Or if you have a gluten intolerance, then you can have some kind of gluten-free bread. So the top of the sandwich says, nice. Hey, I like the way you're doing the sales on that. And then you insert the criticism. That's the meat. But you know what we need to do, you need to do, is step up on focusing on this type of client. Because that way, we can get a lot more sales if we focus on this type of client. And end with another comment that's a little more positive spin. That's the bottom of the sandwich. That's the other bread. Sorry. So you spin it up with another comment. So here it goes. Take some deep breaths. You're pissed off at an employee. Take some deep breaths in your own privacy. in the men's room or whatever, your office, first. And then you say something like, I really appreciate the way you're doing this. Hey, that's awesome the way you did that. Try to think of something they did. Even, I appreciate, you're really, you know, working on your sales pitch. It's awesome. Whatever. Find something nice. And then say, but I think it would be better if you could focus on this. Step up your game a little bit. Okay? And then the bottom bread of the sandwich. Say something else, a little more positive too. This way, by doing this, what you could do is make a bigger commission. And wouldn't that be awesome? And I really want you to do better because you're a good person. Boom. There you go. It's the criticism sandwich. All right? And make sure, by the way, you only criticize the behavior, not the person. Yeah. Don't use those words. Don't call those names. You're lazy. You're not up to par. You failed on that last sales thing. Now, some people like that because it gets them off their rear and motivates them. I just don't think it's a good thing. I think it makes a lot of bosses bullies. And then a lot of your poor employees have these transference issues like daddy's talking to them again, or mommy, or whoever used to talk to them. So just criticize the behavior. Yeah, I think the way you spoke to that client is probably not productive, because here's what you need to do. Not, you are incompetent. You don't know what you're doing. None of those you statements. Justin, use those I statements. I think that it would be better if you could approach the clients differently. Yeah. It's the behavior, not the person. Okay? All right. So another example. Here we go. Your work's usually really great, but it's not quite right today. So what I'm going to have to do is have you redo that report. I know it's really unlike you to get things wrong, so I'm sure it's going to be better, you know, later in the day. I just kind of need you to redo that, and that's it. And you don't have to be, you know, a wimpy dude. You can be strong, end your sentences down, firm, so folks will respect you. But you don't have to yell, wave your arms around like a fool. And like I said, say I, not you. I think that it would be better. I believe it would be better. I know it would be better. We'll have better sales. Okay? That's always the thing, is own it. I. Not you, because I means you're in control. A lot of people think that by saying you are failing at what you're losing control, dude. See, your partner, who you talked about at the antique store, that's the dude who has the control and the respect. Because he's balancing what you're saying. Okay, you come off real harsh. Again, the good cop, bad cop thing's kind of cool sometimes, but if you don't, you're reaching out to me here, Dr. Michelle, and you don't want to come off like an asshole at work. So I'm just saying that it might be better to think about some of these things. All right. It's a really good idea. And by the way, you know, people who criticize a lot of times, others, managers, family members, husbands, wives, partners, whatever, friends, they can't take criticism. I'm just saying. It's what I see a lot. I'm sorry. Right? I see you shaking your head right now, Justin. Go, yeah, I don't like to be criticized. It sucks. Nobody does. So what I'm going to give you to help you out a little bit, too, with the way you approach criticism with others, I'm going to help the people out who are being criticized. Okay? So listen to criticism without interrupting. Just listen. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. Just zip it and listen. Okay. And if there are aspects to the criticism that are kind of valid, even if that person's a little harsh, shake your head. Uh-huh. Do that body language. Mm-hmm. Like you're listening. Yeah. Agree with those points. All right? If the parts are unclear, ask for clarification. That's called reflecting. So what you're telling me is that I'm not using a good approach to these clients. I'm not selling these items properly. I have to really learn more about the items I'm selling. So is that what you're saying to me? Ask for clarification when someone's criticizing you. So you can both, so you can show that person that you hear them. All right? And if you realize you're wrong, own it. Own it. You know what? You're right. I screwed up. You know what? You're right. That's a great idea. I'm really going to try that approach. And you can apologize. Wow, I'm sorry that I didn't come off like that. I should have had a V8. Yeah. And also, if criticism is wrong or unfair, Justin, just smile and chill. Say, you know what? I'm afraid I don't agree with you. I feel that I am trying really hard and I'm learning my best right now. I think what you're saying is unfair, and I don't agree with you. But let's come to terms and have a compromise on what you'd like from me. Okay? Just some ideas. All right. Thank you so much for emailing me, Justin. You're awesome. And take some of that stuff with you. And as I always suggest to everyone who, you know, writes me here at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com on LA Talk Radio, that you should go to see a therapist about these particular problems because, you know, I'm just giving you suggestions. I'm not your therapist. I'm just giving you ideas, you know, some handy hints and living tips. So, you know what I'm saying? Handy hips. And handy tips. Let's move on now. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. Heather writes about one of my favorite subjects that I try to help people with. I can't really do it too well. It's anger. A lot of us were never allowed to express our anger, but a lot of us saw it growing up. Our parents were fighting, and it was okay for them to scream and yell and all that. So that's what we learned. It's just what we learned. Sometimes it's wired in there. Sometimes we have the chemical propensity. We have inherited it. But we can manage it. We really can. We don't have to fly off the handle all the time. And so Heather wrote, I've heard that being able to express and vent our anger is good because we get it out. I've been having a lot of anger towards my husband. Oh, dear. And sometimes it comes out to my kids who are going through their teens. Oh, good luck with that one, Heather. I call that temporary insanity. Adolescence. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It is tough sometimes with teens because, yeah, the hormones, they're, you know, there's certain characteristics. We've all done it. We've all been there. You know, it's okay. It's frustrating. I get it. And so Heather says, I guess my mom taught me how to express anger because it seems like she was angry every day. My best friend said that maybe I should get a therapist to help with my anger. It kind of shocked me because she's always supported me with my frustration. And I've always been able to dump on her. Well, that's neat that you have a friend like that. So she said, can you tell me why being angry is such a bad thing? Isn't it okay to let it all out? Sure. Sure it is. Of course it is. So I'm taking the next call here. No. Yeah, it's okay to do that. We all are. It's called survival. We all get angry. It's all normal. It's just sort of the way that we express it, you know, on a regular basis. We all blow up. We all freak out. We all throw things occasionally. Hopefully not lamps or large pieces of expensive furniture. Or plates or glasses. No, we throw a pen down occasionally on the ground and say, damn it! Don't break your cell phone. Come on. You know, keeping our tempers in check is challenging. So, I don't know, you know, what's going on. Sounds to me like you have a lot of stress and you've learned the behaviors of anger and just going off the handle. So what I'm going to tell you is some of the things that I told Justin as well, who's the boss who, you know, gets too critical and flies off the handle. So anger is normal. It's healthy. But, you know, again, if we can deal with it in a positive way, it'll be good. And uncontrolled anger can really affect your relationships, as it has, obviously, and your kids, and your husband, and your life. So here are some things, and this is all no-brainer stuff. You've all heard it before, but I'm going to reinforce it as you move into the new year so you can practice these things. Just practice and think about these things. Think before you speak. All right? Think. Try to think. Some people just have blah. There's not even a second before, you know, the anger, that little chemical thing just goes blah, and it's out through the mouth. And it's usually a you statement and a critical statement. So in the heat of the moment, I'm kind of, it's so easy to say something you'll later regret. Right? So take a few moments to collect your thoughts before you say anything. Allow others involved in the situation. Just do the same thing. Let others, okay, think before you speak. Whoop, I better hold it in. Wait a minute. I'm really pissed. I'm going into the bathroom for a moment and just closing the door and locking it and breathing. Because I don't want to blurt and make that person feel bad and then regret what I said. Because a lot of times, honestly, when we're angry, we just say things truly. A lot of times we're just being children, defensive children who are hurt. Sometimes they say, the root of anger is pain. I agree. You know, we're hurt in certain situations and whatever the bumps along the way in life have, you know, hurt us. But we just react with anger. We don't want to be hurt anymore. We don't want the pain. So we're going to be defensive. We're going to defend ourselves if we feel we're being attacked or criticized, Justin. Or, you know, so as soon as you're kind of calmed down a little bit, Heather, what I want you to do is just sort of get yourself to a clear thought, if you can. Recognize you're angry about something and express your frustration in an assertive way. You know what that is. You know what I'm going to say. Use those I statements. I'm feeling really angry right now. I'm feeling hurt right now because what you said to me made me feel like. Okay? You're owning it. All right? So state your concerns and needs clearly, directly. Don't hurt others. Don't try to control. Own it. I'm feeling hurt because you just called me blah, blah, blah. You said I'm lazy. Or you said I'm... No, I didn't. I said that we should clean the house a little more. Well, that to me is saying you're... We're criticizing me and saying I'm not good enough at cleaning the house. No. Just kind of stay calm. Express, reflect back. Okay. Non-confrontationally. Another one that, you know, this is, you hear this all the time. But it's, you know, taking a timeout. Timeouts aren't just for kids. And you can't give timeouts to your teenagers. Give yourself some short breaks during the times of the day that tend to be stressful. Give yourself a break. Get some quiet time. Put that, you know, iTunes thing on. Yeah, put those earbuds on. You rock that music. You know, a couple of moments of quiet time might help you feel better. Just take some time out for you to calm down. Because, you know, again, it's the brain that is, you know, working overtime constantly. If you're stressed, you have adolescents, you have a family, you're taking care of things, and you've got a lot going on. So you have to just work that mind. You have to just take care of you and identify some possible solutions instead of focusing on what made you mad. Work on resolving the issue at hand. You know, so does your teenager's room make you crazy? Yeah. Close the door. Is your husband late for dinner a lot? That's okay. Schedule meals later in the evening or have an agreement that you and the kids are going to eat a little earlier and it'll be okay because it's better for, and you love him and you'll sit with him when he comes home late. We'll chill, you can catch up with the day, but if you guys are hungry, you go, you know, remind yourself that anger won't fix anything. It only makes it worse. So find some solutions. What might be more rational? How can we work around this obstacle? We have obstacles every day. And stick with the I statements to avoid criticizing or placing blame, which I was just talking to Justin about. You know, I statements describe the problem. Like, I'm upset that you left the table without offering to help with the dishes. Instead of, you never do any housework, you're a slob. Yeah. Don't get mad. Don't hold a grudge. I know. I know. When someone does something repeatedly that they don't feel like they're hearing you, you got to not hold grudges. Because forgiveness, and this is what I'm going to leave you with, Heather, and everyone out there. Forgiveness is a powerful tool. I always say take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for others. It's all about self-forgiveness and forgiving others. Got to do it every day. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being on the couch. I'll be back next Friday, 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, with more help. Dr. Michelle, leaving the couch. Have a great day and Happy New Year. Bye-bye, everybody.
Take my time.